The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Well, been talking today about the return of international travel, or the first tentative steps anyway. The CEO of Ryanair, Eddie Wilson, joins me. Eddie, how are flights going in and out of Ireland for Ryanair today?
Yeah, going very well. I mean, like, it's been back up and running anyway in the rest of Europe since the 1st of July. We never stopped flying throughout this, particularly this summer, but it's just, flights are now, I would say initially last week, for example, on business down there, and internal flights are absolutely full. The US is back, China is back, and I think Ireland is last to it today, but the flights are going well.
And how busy?
Oh, yeah. Like we would have had last month load factors of about 72%. So 72% of the seats are full. That's growing. And you'd expect that to grow, particularly in the summer months. But there's a different booking curve, as we would call it. You know, like normally people booking for July and August, a lot of people would have booked in a normal year, would have booked like anywhere from last January onwards. And that clearly didn't happen during COVID. So you have people that are, I suppose, starting to book now with sort of the whole stop-start thing. You can understand that some people want to see it actually happening first rather than just listening to the news flow, which changed every day.
I was going to ask about that because we were talking about it. There was research out during the week and another kind of poll of people's attitudes, and a lot of people expressed the reservations about flying, but what the person, the behavioural economist we spoke to, acknowledged was that once they see people flying and once they see the system up and running, people are much more likely then to book it. Is that the expectation from yourselves and others in the industry?
Like everything in life, once the neighbours are going, you're going, you know. I think that, but like, it's not all just about, we tend to get obsessed about the idea of people going on their summer holidays, you know, like, but I mean, like, economies are now bouncing back, and this economy needs tourists coming the other way, you know. We've sent out really strong signals in Ireland over the last 6 months that we were closed for business, and we're going to have to make that up as a country if Ireland's going to have those connections. Particularly, like, this winter is the one that I think we'd all, the tourism industry should really worry about, particularly hotels in Dublin. Hotels in Dublin have been empty for months now, and a lot of those hotels rely on Ryanair and bringing in weekend tourists. We still don't have the restaurants open. So I think this winter is still uncertain for Ireland, and there are less flights to be had, and Ireland isn't competing for those at the moment. Like, I've opened bases 2 weeks ago in Agadir in Morocco. I opened bases in Copenhagen in Italy, and in various other countries in Croatia as well, where we've opened two bases. So there are aeroplanes that are not necessarily coming from Ireland, but they certainly aren't going to go to Ireland because they've gone elsewhere.
So this is a manifestation, is it, of some of the things that you and others were warning about, that there would be a legacy from shutting down the industry?
It is, because we're last as usual. Like, and it's great to be open today, and it's great to be on talking about something that is good news. But, like, I think we can sort of overestimate the effect of this in terms of, you know, people wanting to go on their summer holidays, which is great. But also, I think it's really about, is Ireland open, and about connectivity, because you could find yourself next winter for, you know, some of the regional airports, and in Dublin especially, you could see that they won't have the same level of routes, because we've already made commitments and done deals with other airports and that throughout Europe, and there's less airplanes going to be around. Most of the airlines in Europe are technically bankrupt. They've been bailed out by their governments, and they're going to look after their own countries first. We don't have a state carrier here anymore. We have two private companies. Like, we've got Ryanair and you've got Aer Lingus as part of the Spanish-owned IAG group. And they've got to make a profit, and you're going to put the aircraft where you can get the best return. And Ireland has been last to that. So, I Eamon Ryan, you know, Minister for Transport, really needs to do something with that report that was given to him last year by the Aviation Task Force, and find some way of incentivising traffic so that now that we're reopened, that we don't lose that connectivity.
Well, what would your suggestion, what's your preference in terms of incentivising traffic? Now that we have, if I'd been speaking to you a few weeks ago, it would have been, get to this date. Listen, we need to start travelling. Other countries are doing it. We're now at that point. Travel has started in and out. What does he need to do to incentivise more of it?
It's in the Aviation Task Force, which said, look, what you got to do is that, this isn't any sort of sweetheart deal for Ryanair. It's for anyone who can contribute by putting resources into Ireland to bring seat levels back to where they were at least in, you know, back in 2019. If you don't do that and there's less aircraft around, not just with Ryanair, but with all the airlines, like then that traffic will go elsewhere.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a long, long time to come back. There's just fewer airline seats in Europe, and that's going to be the case for the next number of years. And we're the one nation that actually needs airline seats because there's no other way of getting here in any sort of numbers. And we were last, we still haven't done anything about that.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And you've made that, but I mean, what's your preference? What's Ryanair's preference in terms of incentivizing airlines so that we get back to that point where we had the same number of seats?
Yeah, what they would do, what they would simply do is that they would reduce airport charges for everybody. Everybody. And say, look, we are we should have a special designation as in Ireland, in the EU, we're the only sort of large island economy that's still there, and they should at least be able to preserve that. I mean, like there is, you've got state-owned carriers in Germany, France, Netherlands getting billions of euros being waved through by the EU Commission, and the Irish government, for this big fund that's available in the EU, should say, look, we want to incentivize any airline, not just Ryanair, Aer Lingus, whoever else wants to come in here, and put in the same amount of routes and seats that we had in 2019. And a good way of doing that would be to say to the airlines, like, we'll have a holiday or something for a year or two on airport charges, and it would be available to everyone, and that would restore that automatically. But that's not going to happen.
A short term holiday. You won't come on then in a year or two and say we've got to keep them going.
Well, like, I mean, the EU wouldn't allow it. You couldn't have a holiday of airport charges forever. What you would have is that you want to restore traffic. If you restore traffic, then you return to profitability, and then you stay there. What's going to happen is that some of that capacity goes elsewhere and doesn't come back. So the winter is going to be really important. It's great today. Like, people can now book with confidence. You know, the boarding process is really easy. I mean, like, nearly 70% of adults in Ireland are now double vaccinated. And, you know, showing your pass as you get on is the same as showing your passport now. And it'll become less and less, I think, as time goes on, as vaccination levels get to 90-95%, you know.
How has today gone in terms of COVID check-ins and the travel certificate working?
It's gone well, because, like, there are slightly different requirements, even in some of the EU countries. But by and large, you have to fill out what's called a passenger locator form in each country, and that tells you what you should have in terms of how the digital passport is presented. But, like, if you're vaccinated and you've got the digital passport, you're not going to have a difficulty at all.
And are they being checked? Because we've been speaking to some people, including Paul Quinn of Virgin Media. He's on the line. I'm going to be speaking to him just a minute from Spain, who didn't have his COVID cert checked at all through the airport. Now,
because it's slightly different going. I'd heard about this, like, going into Spain. When you fill out the passenger locator form in Spain, that is the check, because what you're saying is that generates you're making a solemn declaration to the Spanish government to say that I filled out this thing correctly, I'm staying in XYZ or whatever, and it generates one of these QR codes, which you just show. You don't have to we don't have to check the digital certificate going through, because you've already made that declaration. So there's slight differences between countries, so it's not a question.
So people flying out of here into Spain, it's the rules that the Spanish are applying would apply to them going through Dublin Airport, and that's the rule in Spain.
And the staff that actually man that flight, okay, in terms of boarding, they go on to the next one, which is an Italian one, and it's slightly different. It's just that the Spanish one generates a QR code of itself, so that when you arrive in Spain, it's their QR code. But you've made a solemn declaration of, you know, that you've complied with the law, and you would have had to fill out it's called a passenger locator form. But it's not a question of you have to see the digital certificate in every jurisdiction at boarding.
Yeah.
It depends on the country.
All right. Well, listen, Eddie, we appreciate your time. Eddie Wilson is the CEO of Ryanair. I mentioned Paul Quinn of Virgin Media News, who's on the line as well. Paul, how's the Costa del Sol?
Look, it's not too shabby at all, Kieran. I mean, we're having our own little heat wave at home, but it's nice to get back. It's a bit surreal, to be honest, being back in a foreign country. I mean, our flight this morning was at 6:25, and, you know, you're at the airport, you're on the plane, and you're here before you even know what's happening. But yeah, it's certainly nice to be to be here. But even just listening to Eddie Wilson there talk about the, you know, the different, the COVID certs, and obviously as I was mentioning earlier, like nobody asked us for that, but there's so much confusion still around what's needed and what's not needed. And, you know, do you need the cert or the GP cards that they gave you, would that be enough, or the locator form? So I think there is certainly teething problems, and it's just going to take a little bit of time till we're all more familiar with exactly what's required and on each stage. Because when we did arrive in Spain, that locator form, the QR code was scanned here and you were let through. So, you know, it worked really well. But I suppose everyone that I spoke to on the plane were like, God, they didn't want the cert. We've had so much talk about this cert.
Yes.
Why didn't they want it, or why didn't they ask it? But I suppose Eddie explained it there, that, you know, the QR code on the Spanish locator form, that suffices if you're travelling to Spain in particular.
Yeah, I suspect it's when you're coming back as well, you're going to need your cert, because that's the situation, or those are the ground rules in Ireland. So don't abandon, don't burn the cert yet for the other people who are on the flight.
No, but I haven't received my cert. Like, mine never came in the post. My GP did my vaccine and I still haven't got it. But I've been told that the little card that he gave me with, you know, my dates and the type of vaccine that I got, that'll do. So, you know, that's there's just still kind of a lot of uncertainty about, God, right, am I going to get in? Will I have to have a test along with that card or whatever? But, you know, I think that'll play out in the next couple of weeks.
And on the plane this morning, but were mostly holidaymakers, families, who was on it with you?
Yeah, like a real mix of people. Obviously, you could tell there was older people maybe who retired or you know, they may have places over here. A lot of families, a lot of kids, a lot of parents, a lot of young people, young groups, young lads, girls as well. Speaking to a couple of them, you know, they all went off and got their negative test because they haven't had the opportunity to get a vaccine yet, but they weren't going to hang around. They wanted to kind of get out and, you know, to get overseas and get some bit of a holiday, even though I suppose the advice is still only go if you're vaccinated, but you're allowed to go. Like, if you're negative test, or if you've recovered, or if you're vaccinated, those are the rules. So, yeah, there was definitely a mix. The plane we were flying on had a capacity for about 180, and one of the cabin crew told me there was about 150 on it.
Okay.
So there was about 30 spare seats. Like, they are operating at full capacity. So, you know, if they filled those seats, they would. But then she said yesterday she was on a flight to Lanzarote, and there was 40 people on the plane.
Okay, so it's still hit or miss, yeah. And as Eddie Wilson said, yeah, as well, listen, they're up over 70% kind of on average seat capacity, but then we mightn't have the same amount of flights going in and out at the moment as well, so that doesn't tell the full story. How busy is it there, Paul?
Look, to be honest, I thought it would be busier, and nice. I thought that there'd be more Irish. Like, I think if we're in Marbella at the minute, so, you know, pre-COVID, if you were here at this time of the year in the middle of July, you wouldn't be able to walk down, you know, the promenade without bumping into Irish people. Now, we've taken a walk around today and around this afternoon, and kind of hard enough to find any Irish people that are here so far. I stopped at a couple of Irish bars as well, and they weren't open, but, like, there was some of the staff inside and saying, you know, there's not as many of them around as they're hoping, but they're getting there. They're seeing more and more day by day. But I suppose the fact that international travel from Ireland only really resumed this morning, you know, you're going to see some people, there was that pent-up demand, as I was saying, 150 on the plane today. You're going to see those that make a burst for it, and then you're going to see others that are just going to wait, take their time, see how their friends, their family get on,
yeah,
and then maybe book in the next couple of weeks or so. Because the other situation is, and I was talking to a couple of people here as well, the COVID cases are rising here as well, like they are in, you know, other parts of Europe. And that's something that, especially those in tourism, they're worried about. They're worried that might put off people coming over as well. So that also kind of plays into it. And different parts of Spain has different restrictions at the minute as well.
All right. Well, listen, Paul, some people get all the tough gigs. I'm glad to know you're enduring it. Paul Quinn there of Virgin Media News, who is in Marbella. We also heard from Eddie Wilson, the CEO of Ryanair.